Today's audiocast for Friday, May 26th, 2006 is made possible by Aviation Safety, the monthly journal of risk management and accident prevention. I'm Mike Blakeney reporting for AvWeb's Audio News Service. Later, we'll recap the highlights of AvWeb's Thursday edition. But in this week's in-depth interview with an aviation newsmaker, AvWeb's Mary Grady talks with Dan Johnson, the Light Sport Aircraft Marketing Consultant to EAA and the Light Aircraft Manufacturers Association. Dan talks about the developing LSA sector and tells us about some new models to look for this summer at Oshkosh and elsewhere.
Good morning, Mary. At this point in time for the Light Sport Aircraft Community's development, we are at the 14-month point after which the first such aircraft won its special light sport aircraft certificate, meaning that it can be used commercially for instruction or rental. And we now have 34 aircraft that have received certification. More specifically, we have 30 aircraft, meaning fixed-wing conventional-looking machines, 3 weight shift machines, and 1 powered parachute that have all passed the ASTM consensus standards, made their statement of compliance, and gotten their approval so they can be used as described.
Okay, now there are some new designs emerging that we're going to be seeing, like by Oshkosh?
Yes, the American component of those 34 airplanes is limited to only 6 aircraft. That's only about 18% of the total, or about 1 in 6, which seems a little slight, but the Europeans that are the primary importers of these aircraft had a little lead on us because they already had a system that allowed that. The Americans still had to build under 51% rules or other rules. So we were a little behind, we Americans, that is. But now that's beginning to change. The rule's been there long enough. People know they can build to it. And we're going to see a couple of very interesting ones among some more conventional-looking ones. One of them, fascinating new development from some people at MIT, is an aero car concept, vis-a-vis Molt Taylor. This will not be flying, but they'll have a lot of information on an interesting machine called the Transition. And another one from Colorado with a very dreamy-looking fuselage to it is called the Nexair, and they're right on the edge of flying their airplane. Hopefully it'll be flying at Oshkosh this year. It was just a mock-up last year. In addition to which, I think we'll see more American designs coming out, although some of them may continue to stick with 51% as we hear Vans aircraft may do when and if they release a light sport aircraft model.
As far as the certification, are there new developments as the standards continue to mature?
Well, the beauty of this system is that under the ASTM guidance, the industry writes its own consensus standards. That is, industry writing the certification means rather than FAA writing it. The good news about that is that every 6 months or thereabouts, industry people on their own expense gather in groups organized by ASTM and have to review the standards. These things have to be reviewed every 2 years and practically are reviewed at almost every meeting, meaning there's a constant improvement to the program going on. In addition to which, the Light Aircraft Manufacturers Association will soon start initiating a series of third-party audits. Now, the manufacturers or importers of these aircraft that have won approval must go do an internal audit every year to assure they are still meeting the standard of compliance that they said they were meeting at the beginning. That's a good thing. It's a constant check and balance built right into the system that can help assure buyers. But when there is a third party like LAMA, and there can be other ones, and there will be other ones as well, but the Light Aircraft Manufacturers Association is logically going to lead this effort, they'll go into a company at that company's expense and go through the standard of compliances themselves and verify that the company is indeed meeting these things. And that's a nice reassurance for those that are either contemplating or have already bought a light sport aircraft.
Are you also starting to see, as the LSA sector matures, that these aircraft are being used for other purposes besides just sport flying?
Yes, there can be some other use. Of course, in the commercial sense, we are limited to instruction and rental use, but if it's not being used commercially, these aircraft can apply in other areas. One such company that we know of is using an aircraft called a CT, or investigating an aircraft called a CT, as a aerial surveillance platform. And indeed, some of the ultralight guys have done things like this too, so it's a logical outcome to light aircraft that can be flown very fuel efficiently. In addition, we're beginning to see maybe the first stages of some consolidation in the industry where companies are joining up to better fill out their product line. We've had one company, the importer of the Sting Sport, that has joined up with the Czech Aircraft Works, and now Sport Air USA, the Sting Sport importer, will also be representing the Parrot and Sport Cruiser produced by an American who runs a company in the Czech Republic and sells under that name. These developments, I think, are likely to increase as the industry continues to mature, but since we're only at about the two-year-old point, no one really knows yet, and I often tell people, ask me in 5 years and I'll tell you what the future holds.
What do you have coming up next for the LSA malls and the Sport Pilot Tour?
Well, a couple of exciting things. The Sport Pilot Tour continues to be an excellent draw and an opportunity for people to come out and see light sport aircraft locally and to hear all kinds of things about the rule itself, which still needs a lot of clarification and education for people. So EAA is continuing their very generous and active sponsorship of the Sport Pilot Tours. There are ones coming up in the Chicago area, June 17th, Minneapolis, August 19th. Then we'll head back out west to Riverside, California, and San Diego, California, and subsequently to a couple stops in Texas. So those continue along, but meanwhile, during the summer months here, we also have the LSA Mall that was first seen at EAA Air Venture Oshkosh and was a big hit there last year. This is a collection, like an auto mall, of all the LSAs in one location, making it very easy for airshow attendees to look at the entire fleet that's available. The next such one of those will be out at the Arlington Air Show, July 5 to 9, just north of Seattle, a popular show in the northwest U.S., followed by the second running of the LSA Mall at Air Venture Oshkosh, starting just in a couple of months now, July 23rd through the end of the month in that famous location.
How are they finding sales? Are they about what you would have expected at this point?
There are two components to look at there. The demand and the orders taken is one side. I think that continues very active. I think demand and interest is as high as it ever was, if not even higher, because we've got so many wonderful choices. But we are still seeing deliveries lag somewhat because the companies over in Europe, which I said are supplying many of our aircraft, were not geared up to make the volumes that could be sold in the United States. And they have begun doing that. Many of the factories over there have now started to enlarge their facilities. But when you add walls and machine shops and employees, that doesn't mean more airplanes come out the other end right away. But that's starting to change now. And I think by fall of the year, and certainly by 2007, we're going to see the supply of aircraft more closely match the demand for those aircraft. And then people can get them quicker. Flight schools can buy them on leaseback programs more easily. And we'll see the industry continue to grow, and I'm forecasting at least 1,000 unit sales during 2007, and that would be deliveries. So I think we're really beginning to be a component of the overall aviation segment here very quickly as this develops.
Are people who want to learn to fly in a sport plane finding training available?
Well, there's two ways you can answer that. First of all, any flight school in the United States with a CFI on staff can immediately start training for sport pilots. They do not have to have a light sport aircraft initially, and that instructor doesn't have to go get any special training. He has to know what's required in the sport pilot certificate, of course, but that's a matter of just some study. So anyone, any flight school anywhere can start giving sport pilot instruction right away, although many of them don't seem to be aware of that. On the other side of the coin, we're starting to see a slow but steady increase in the number of regular conventional GA flight schools that are acquiring a light sport aircraft and pursuing sport pilot training because the cost is so much less. To get a sport pilot certificate is half or less of the cost of achieving a private ticket, and the cost of acquiring a light sport aircraft is also somewhere about half of what it might be to acquire a new general aviation model.
And say, is the Sport Pilot Tour still going to come to Boston?
Oh, yeah, September 18th. And it's funny that's not on EAA's list. I was looking at it when I rattled those names off, and it's not on there. I think they're still trying to confirm the actual location, and that may be why they haven't posted it yet.
That's a nice time of year to be up here.
Yeah, it should be. My wife and I are looking at bringing our motorhome out there for that, and we hope to spend a little time when we come out for that one and enjoy a little of New England, which I used to visit some years ago, but we'd love to come out and do that. So
that sounds good. I appreciate it.
All right, Mary.
Okay, we'll see you.
Thanks much.
In AvWeb's Thursday edition, we looked at a recent report that predicts great times ahead for biz jets, with sales in the next decade nearly double the last 10 years. The future of very light jets is less certain, the Teal Group analysts found. The report cites dawning obstacles to growth of the air taxi segment and a thin market overall for small jets. The VLJs have plenty of believers, though, and a group of them will meet in Florida next month to attend a day-long forum about the emerging sector. The big players will be there, from Eclipse CEO Vern Rayburn to NASA's Bruce Holmes, and you can be there, too, for a small fee of $1,995. On Tuesday, Transportation Secretary Norm Mineta said airline delays are robbing the economy of $9.7 billion each year. He proposed several ways to enhance aviation capacity. The government needs to move forward with the next-generation air transportation system, improve efficiency at New York's LaGuardia Airport, and streamline environmental reviews for aviation capacity projects. Mineta's plan also supports the use of market-based tools to manage congestion at our most crowded airports, but gives no specifics as to the nature of those tools. The NTSB has expressed concern to the FAA that some controllers aren't getting enough sleep. Fatigue was a factor in two recent near collisions on the surface at O'Hare International Airport, the Associated Press reported on Tuesday. The incidents reveal a recurring pattern, the NTSB said. Fatigue and ATC were also cited in the Safety Board's final report on the crash of a Learjet Air ambulance in October 2004, released on Tuesday. The NTSB found the crew was tired and the controllers didn't follow proper procedures. The jet hit a mountain as it departed from a San Diego airport. All five aboard were killed. For more details on these and other stories about balloons and ornithopters, an update on the sport jet flight tests, and the worldwide need for aviation workers, go to avweb.com and click on the link for Newswire Complete Issue. If you'd like to comment on any of our stories, please email us at audionews@avweb.com. This report has been made possible by Aviation Safety, the monthly journal of risk management and accident prevention. For more information, click on the AudioCast sponsors link. Look for AvWeb's next AudioCast on Memorial Day, Monday, May 29th. I'm Mike Blakeney. Thanks for listening.